is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you live a more positively minded life as we wind up the season. In the studio with me today, Stephanie Dombra, who is helping me research many of our programs. Stephanie, welcome to the station.
Good afternoon, Armand.
This is interesting, doing something about the Enneagram, don't you think?
Yes, I love the Enneagram.
There is a thing about the Enneagram that's just fascinating. We say this word Enneagram as if it's a word that you would even understand, but it's just a word. It's a word that means a system, a study of belief. They have a fascinating aspect of the study of belief that comes originally from who?
The belief is the Sufis.
The Sufis?
Yes.
Sufis from many years ago. So anyway, here's the question I'm going to ask you today. How did you spend your holiday season so far? And here's a way of looking at it. From one of three aspects of your personality, so this is a Sufi way of looking at it, but it's fascinating, fascinating. Let's say that there were three possible instincts, that every human has three instincts, and the three instincts, probably every animal has three instincts as well. I don't think it's just humans. One is self-preservation, the other is social, and the third is sexual. But sexual shouldn't be seen as just having sex. Sexual is also relationships. So if you think about the intimate relationships, the one-to-one kind of stuff, or, you know, the one-to-three kind of stuff, the two-to-two kind of stuff, according to where you live or what year it was. What is your instinct? Your instincts, you have three: self-preservation, social, and sexual. Now, this is fascinating because you think I'm going to show you something today that if you figure out yours, then you could figure out the instinct of the person who you know closest, and you can watch how the two of you interact. It's fascinating because all three of us have all three of these instincts. All of us have these three instincts. We all have self-preservation. We all want to preserve, we all want to take care of ourselves and make sure we stay alive. We all have social. We're part of a group. We're part of the world. We care about how the world perceives us and how we interact with them. That's social. And then we all have a sexual relationship instinct, which is pairing, mating, intimacy. Which of these three is strongest with you? Let's go over them a little bit. One of the things that I think Don Riso and Russ Hudson did in their book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, they described the instincts as a three-legged stool. Just picture, you know, those old stools that you sit in when you're milking the cow and it has three legs on it, and one is shorter than the other two, and that makes you lean in the direction. You tend to lean in the direction of either self-preservation, of social, or of sexual relationships. You're either more concerned about the social, more concerned about self-preservation, or more concerned about your relationship than you are the other two. So you're in the direction of one and not in the direction of the other two as much. So every one of you are going to be either highly social, highly self-preservation, or highly sexual relationship stuff, even though you will have the others. Give you an example. The self-preservation variant here, the self-preservation. Many people can easily identify the instinctual variant, your instinctual variant to self-preservation. Self-preservation types are preoccupied with getting and maintaining physical safety and comfort. This is the kind of person who walks around carrying a sandwich, cookies, a bottle of water, because they want to make sure they're going to have access to it. It often translates into concerns about food, clothing, money, housing, and physical health. Many people who are very, very concerned about physical health have a self-preservation instinct. That's what they care about the most. I want to be fit and I want to be healthy because I want to live longer. And they talk about it.
I also see how that self-preservation instinct comes out in the personality itself. I know we're not talking about the personality types, but I see that self-preservation come out, for instance, when a person listens to music all the time. That can reinforce their personality. So if they're a person who's inside themselves and music is a way to soothe that, that is part of, to me, the self-preservation, what keeps them internally feeling safe.
Well, safe is a key word here, Stephanie. That's very interesting. Safety is key. So their issues are about, are their main priority in pursuing them. Other parts of their life may suffer. Like they may not care as much about, they want to do workouts in their gym, and they don't care so much about what's happening with their wife and kids or their husband and so on. I've got to go to the gym, and you dash out the door. I've seen many couples nowadays so completely separate from each other, with the person just saying, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do running, I'm going to do, and they, you know, they could be laying in bed having sex, getting as much exercise as they would get from running around a track, but they don't know this is not the issue anymore. We're going to be running. This is self-preservation. Self-preservation, make me strong, make me survive. It's interesting when a self-preservation type goes to a party, they go into a room, I'm going to show you on all three instincts how different people will go to a party. Self-preservation party, a person goes to a party, the first thing they notice is it too bright in here to hurt my eyes? Is the seating comfortable enough? Is the temperature going to be okay? Should I sit near a window? You know, they're quick to notice what's going to make them comfortable or not comfortable. They wonder about their next meal or the coffee break will come. They worry if there'll be enough food, if it'll be the kind they like, or if it'll meet their dietary requirements. You know, and this is their first thought. Self-preservation people walk in. They kind of look at the food spread. Is there going to be food here for me? The kind of, or maybe I'll bring something along. They'll actually ask you before a party. Tips about pizza. Never underestimate the amount of pizza that people could eat, whether they are self-preservation types or not. I went to a party recently, and I was at this party, and there were about, 31 people. Just about. And they said, we need some fast food. I said, well, you know, there's a pizza place downstairs that makes very good salads. Get salad and pizza. And so they ordered. And they said, how many pizzas? I said, well, get three pizzas. They're just going to want a snack. Well, the pizza didn't even get in the door. By the time it got past the door, it was gone. So they wound up ordering 9 pizzas to satisfy this because something happens. You know, in Italian, there's an expression, mortigan, which means a dying dog. Sometimes people eat like dying dogs. You know, they eat, and a dying dog in Italian, from where I came from, or from my family came from, mortivama meant a dog that was dying of starvation. So he eats and he just eats. A lot of people eat pizza like that. If you go to a pizza parlor or you pass Ray's Pizza and you look at people eating pizza, they sit at these tables and they have their arms around the pizza. It's generally like they're almost in a prison protecting the food. Pizza has that tendency. I don't know if there's any other food that brings out the self-preservation instinct in people as much, you know? So, back to self-preservation. Self-preservation is you're going to keep yourself going. These are the kind of people who go traveling, and when they travel, they bring too much stuff with them. They stock up on too many things. They sometimes overeat themselves, you know, overeat, and they sometimes stack up bringing a lot of things for their own comfort in their suitcases, and their suitcases could weigh a ton when they're just going away overnight. Really disturbed people who are self-preservation types, they let themselves go physically, or they become obsessive about health and food matters, or both. So in the self-preservation instinct, you can get so wrapped up in it that you can get crazy about it. You can become obsessive about it. Too. And what you lose is the other two instincts. You see, here, if you become very high in self-preservation, something gets lacking in your social, which we're going to talk about, and something is lacking in your relationship instinct. So let's talk about the other two. The social instinct. Most of us are aware that we have a social component, but we tend to see it as our desire to socialize, to attend parties, meetings, belong to groups, and so forth. The social instinct is actually something more than fundamental. It's a powerful desire found in all human beings to be liked, to be approved of, to feel safe with other people. On our own, we're rather weak and vulnerable and can easily fall prey to a hostile environment. Because we as humans lack the claws, the fangs, and the fur of other animals. If we did not band together and cooperate with each other, it is unlikely that our species would have survived. Being able to adjust ourselves in order and to be acceptable is a fundamental survival-based human instinct. So a social instinct is like a self-preservation instinct, but it goes about it a different way. Instead of it's me and me making myself survive, it's me and I better be part of the gang. People who have a dominant social instinct are preoccupied with being accepted and necessary in the world. They're concerned with maintaining the sense of value that they get from participating in activities with others, be they family, group, community, national, or global activities. And a lot of the best family folks, you know, the people at Christmas and holidays and Kwanzaa and, you know, the people who are part of the big family gatherings and they look forward to it a lot, these are social instinct-driven people. A lot of people care more about the family than they do about their current relationship or even about their self-preservation. You know, it's not about me. It's about us. It's about keeping us going, not keeping me going. So if you're a social instinct type, then you're going to lean towards the approval and acceptance of others. You're going to tend to enjoy interacting with people. But on the other hand, the funny thing about social types, they avoid intimacy. They tend to avoid intimacy. You see, if a person becomes too focused on either social, sexual, or the relationship instinct, or the self-preservation instinct, they avoid the other ones in general. And I'll show you more about that today. When you have a social instinct, that's a strong social instinct, it is more important to you than your own self-preservation or your own personal relationship. There are many people who would give up their marriages for their friends. In fact, I heard from someone earlier today who told me about her Christmas and the way she spent Christmas. And she said, all of my friends were in town for the first time. They usually not. Usually they go away to see their families. And I realized that in her world, her 30-ish world, the new family is the friends. That people have kind of said, well, I don't want to be part of that family scene, what they consider to be a scene. That no longer means much to me. How I'm going to preserve is to be social and be with my friends. And friends become an important part of it, and being accepted by your friends, being cared for by your friends, and being an active part of a community is a very important thing to people. That's why parties are important. Parties are important because you get a chance to find people and interact with people and socialize with people. If you avoid groups of people, if you tend to avoid it, well, that indicates something which we're going to talk about later in will help you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking to you about your three instincts and how if you understand yourself and your three basic instincts and where you are dominant in these three instincts, your life is going to be a lot easier to get by and you have much fewer heart attacks. So sweet, Majita Lee. Okay, social types. So remember, if you have a high social instinct, you attend to social endeavors and commitments, You do it more than anybody else. You know, you're the person who is always going to be there keeping the commitment. You know, the one who drags her husband along with her, and he doesn't want to do it. He wants to stay home and watch football or be with his buddies. But no, we've got to go to the wedding. We've got to go to the social gathering because there is nothing more important to me than to know that I am an accepted part of my community. Nice thing about WBAI, it's a nice community. You know, I think part of the reason that people listen to this station is to feel part of this WBAI community. Every time I meet someone for the first time who is part of our WBAI listening audience, you know, they greet me with a kind of familiar, as in family, greeting. Oh, hi, I've been listening to you for years, and it's like you're in my family, you're part of our group. So I belong to a big social group, all of you. Probably all having me over for the holidays, too. Okay, so now let's talk about the third, the relationship variant. So we're talking about three instincts. One instinct is social. Another instinct is self-preservation. Now we're talking about the three, which is called the sexual variant. It's called sexual because of mating, but it's also the mating variant or the relationship variant. Most people like to identify themselves in this. Most people would like to say, I'm a relationship freak. That's it. My main instinct is relationships. And most people will say that at first. Not true. They believe that this would mean that they are sexy and or loved or lovable. Of course, sexiness is highly subjective, and there are sexy people in all three of the instinctual groups. I mean, you could be self-preservation and you could be sexy. You could be social and you could be sexy. But in a real sexual type, there's a constant search for connection and constant attraction to intense experiences. Not only sexual experiences, but any situation that promises a similar change. In all things, sexual types or social or the relationship type, not the social type, seek intense contact, romance, hot stuff, you know, really deep, deep stuff. You could tell. It's all they care about. They go in a room. They're not thinking about anything else except who can I meet with? Who's here? Who can I be with on a one-to-one? Who's potential? I was at this same party the other day, and I saw a man walk in. He came into the party. He was very well dressed, but I know him. I know his. He scouted the room to see if there was anybody there who would be of interest. And maybe he was there 5 minutes. Boom, he disappeared. Because that's all he cared about. Is there a potential mate here? These relationship types possess a wide-ranging, exploratory approach to life. On the negative side, they have difficulty focusing on their own needs and priorities because they're always focusing on somebody else. They want to have a relationship with somebody else. It's all about the other person, them and the other person, them and the other person. But it's all about relationships. They have, so you know, is relationship all that matters to you? Does it matter more than your family? Does it matter more than your own self-preservation? Funny thing happens to folks when they get older. They may have been romantics their whole life, searching for romance and sex and love, and that could have been their whole life. And then as they get older, they start becoming self-preservation dominant. You know, well, the hell with that. Let me just make sure that I'm physically okay. Three instincts. Social, sexual, self-preservation. Sexual is relationship. So I'm going to call in. You're going to call in, and you're going to tell me which of these three you think dominate your life. Just think about you over the holidays. Were you more self-preservation? Were you taking care of yourself and making sure you were okay? Were you being social, looking to make sure you were part of the bigger community? Or was it sexual relationship, making sure that you were going to find some connection that was intense with another human? Which one were you? Well, now, here's a very, very interesting thing. If you identify yourself with any one of these three more than the other two, we learn a great deal about you. Let's say you're a self-preservation type, and you were to rank it, and you say, which one is the most me, self-preservation, social, or relationship? And you could be one of these self-preservation types who live alone, who, like Stephanie says, listen to music, hound yourself, you know, that's the way you're going to keep yourself going. You keep everybody out. Now you have either personal relationship as your next highest, or you have social as your next highest. Many people who prefer intense relationships have the least, their lowest score would be in the social relationships. How many of you are people who just want to have a mate and you would like the rest of the world to disappear? You want to grab your mate, you want to isolate your mate. Many women do this with men. They want to marry a guy, remove him from his friends, have him not with his friends anymore, so that it could be the two of them could go off and just live somewhere in the woods together, you know, so you could have this intense one-to-one relationship. That's very nice, but you don't want him to be a part of the world. What if he's a world traveler? What if he's somebody who fights for things like in Haiti or in, you know, you don't want him to be such an active part. If you're a relationship person, you don't want him to be part of his social world. So, if you're a relationship person, well, let's go back to self-preservation. If you're self-preservation, you're going to be second highest in either social or relationship. Pick your second highest. Think about yourself. Are you self-preservation? Are you social? Or are you sexual relationship? Meaning the same thing. It could be sexual drive or it could be love drive. So is it self-preservation? Is it social? Or is it sexual relationship? Now you pick the one that's the highest. Now the highest, if you're highest in, let's say, self-preservation, and let's say your least highest is going to be your social. It's very important. The place you get in the most trouble is going to be in your least score, the one where you're the shortest. Think about that for a minute. Think about when you have been in your life. Let's say it's all about self-preservation, and yet your landlord hates you. Your landlord is after you, and so he increases your feeling threatened. Because you've never taken the time to be kind to your landlord or your super. Somebody came to me with a gift of liquor the other day. I said, no, thank you. I don't necessarily want the liquor. I said, give it to your superintendent. And she said to me, oh, my God, what a great idea. Somebody who's taking care of your house. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. So self-preservation, if that's your highest score, your lowest score is going to be in something else. If it's in social, you're going to find you have a lot of people who don't like you as a group because you don't pay attention to them. If your lowest score is in your relationship score, guess how well you get along with your mate. You and your mate live in separate worlds. You live in your world. You're sitting at your computer. You're listening to your music. You're doing your workout in the gym. And you don't even know who your mate is. You know, you find out that your mate has a secret life somewhere. You know, probably a Santa Claus or something. I didn't know you were Santa Claus. Well, you didn't ask. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the silly mind. Getting nearer to the end of the year, I get sillier and sillier. Okay, so let's say your highest is your social type. Let's say social means more to you than anything else, your social instinct. All you care about is my family, my group, my organization, what I belong to. I'm a Republican, and I got to go out there and help get W elected, you know, whatever it is. It's your group. That's what counts the most. It counts so much that if a mate comes along or self-preservation gets thrown to the wind. Hey, what about this? But we're having a nuclear war. Oh, I don't care about that. But it's my group. I am a Republican. I belong to that group. I don't care about facts. I don't care about seeing threats to my own life. You know, this is what I believe in. Okay. So if you're a social type and all you care about is your membership in the world, group and how they approve of you and how they care about you, then another one is going to be weak. It could be either self-preservation could be weak, or it could be your sexual relationships could be weak. People with very high social concerns usually have very low intimacy. The sexual relationship stuff is usually low. These are people who have a lot of friends, a lot of people around them, but not a strong intimacy. It's almost like you can't be close with one because it's too threatening, so you're close to many. You care more about the family than you do about your relationship, so that's your weak spot. Your weak spot is you have a great social life, but you're lonely because there's nobody there to hold you, because there's nobody there to tend you. And every now and then, you ache in your heart because you see other people hugging each other, and you say, oh, why can't I have that? And you think there must be something wrong with the people who don't see what a wonderful person you are. Or you could be weak in self-preservation. Now, high socials, social who have a low self-preservation, always get in trouble with money. They're spending their money. They're doing the social thing. They're out there. They're going to Rio for the party. They're going to be wherever people are. But self-preservation is not their skill. So self-preservation, people with a low self-preservation score are usually not taking care of themselves physically. And if you have a very low self-preservation score, you don't take care of yourself financially either. Because you're not trying to survive. You're not putting your attention on that. There should be a balance between all three, my friends. The last one I'm going to address is the sexual relationship one. So, you know, if a social person walks in a room, they see if they're going to be accepted by that room, right? The person with the sexual variant or the relationship variant, the thing they care about is just that one thing, one-to-one relationships. Nothing else matters. I want to be in a one-to-one relationship. Do I have a mate here? Is this my potential mate? And that's all that matters, and they don't care what people think of them. So if they decide that finding a mate is all that matters, they will wear the most outrageous clothing to go to a party because they're hunting for a mate, you see. They don't care if this clothing is going to attract hostility because their self-preservation may be threatened. They don't care. Or if the people in the are going to look at you and say, did you see what he's wearing? They don't care about that because what they care about is this going to attract somebody? And you become someone who attracts people. And when you have that and you're low in self-preservation, then you're in real trouble. People who have a very strong, the highest self-sexual relationships variation, right? If that's where their highest instinct is, and their self-preservation is low, boy, are they in trouble. Because they get into lousy relationships. These are the victims of being beaten. These are people who, you know, they don't take care of themselves. They're not taking them care of themselves. Their husbands or wives will be, you know, alcohol users or abusers or, you know, people like that. And you don't care about yourself. You don't care about yourself. And very often when you don't care about yourself, you also don't care about your children. It's part of self-preservation. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm talking about three instincts. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to go a little further with this and then take your phone calls and see how this, the understanding of your instincts, applies to New Year's Eve. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. And this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. Please call and support WBAI, Non-Commercial Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover.
Tell me that it's you.
to change our mind. Should we do what we found? Should we do what we tell me it's the institution? Well, you know, you better free your mind and stay. Of chairman now, ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow. Don't you know it's gonna be? Should we do alright? Should you know it's gonna be? Should we do alright? Should you know it's gonna be?
Dooby Dooba. Just something about the end of the year that seems to go with that new group that just came in from England, all the Beatles, from the White Album. Hey, there's a good question that my research assistant just brought me. Well, how did you quote it? How did you say it?
We're talking about the three instincts, and I was thinking about whether certain periods of history actually produce more dominant instincts. And I was thinking, as we were playing the song from the Beatles, that period of time in the 60s and 70s when people were socially revolting and making a lot of statements about things in a community kind of fashion, but at the same time they were doing an awful lot of connecting sexually and in a relationship way, and very little self-preservation seemed to be going on, and you can talk more about that. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's very interesting, because there seemed to be periods of time when self-preservation was all that mattered. You know, and we may be coming to that right now. That may be about the time, you know, especially since the attacks at the World Trade Center. People have kind of all been, you know, gathering themselves and saying, you know, we've got to survive, we've got to get through, we have to be this, we have to... Taking care of yourself moves you away. So I think you're right. I think there are periods of time when we could probably take a pin and say this was a time when self-preservation was dominant. Here's a time when social was dominant. Here's a time when sexual relationship is dominant. I think something's happening with the sexual relationship stuff now. From what I'm seeing and what I'm reading among the younger people, they're doing more open relationships and different variations. You know, they're having different social relationships. It's kind of the relationship with one other person is no longer expected to be with one other person. So in the new form, part of the new form is saying, okay, you could be with as many people as you want to be with, and I'll be with as many people as I want to be with, and we'll talk to each other about it, and that's going to be our commitment. So your sexual relationship becomes a social relationship. You then bring in a group, you know, it's like a community, and it's like you're moving over, they're moving away from the difficulties of the intimate relationship. One way to deal with it is we're just going to open it up and make it be social. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'd like to hear from you as well, my friends. How do you identify yourself? Self-preservation, social, or sexual? And if you were going to be one of the three, which one would be the strongest? 212-209-2900 is the number here on WBAI. 212-209-2900. We're at WBAI in New York City, 99.5 FM on your dial. The Positive Mind with you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. It takes a minute because there it is. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Armand. My name is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
How are you? I always listen to your program. Thank you for putting it on. So I've actually never spoken to anyone on the radio before.
This is your first time, Michael?
Yes.
That's great. Thank you. So thank you for the compliment of being the person with whom you choose to break this ice.
Thank you. So I'm a 32-year-old gay man. I think I'm more of a well, I guess I'm much more of the relationship person. And even though I found some elements of myself in all of the other ones, because I'm definitely social and I have a large group of friends and a very close family, but the things, the thoughts that dominate my mind are definitely the one-on-one relationship.
Yeah, now how active are you in the one-on-one sexual part of the relationship stuff?
I have a boyfriend. But I always have an inner conflict in my one-on-one relationship, and I think maybe because there's so much focus on it. I'm in my relationship is about 6 months long, which is, for my life, that's a pretty significant amount of time. Although, in my heart, that's not a lot of time, because my longing is for a much longer companion and a much more successful kind of relationship.
And do you find this relationship is not all that satisfying, but good?
It's satisfying, but for some reason it doesn't seem like enough for me. Like enough time. I find myself, like, I was at a solstice party last week, and I found myself continuously aware of maybe there's somebody else for me, even though I really wished that my partner was there, but he couldn't be there. But the longing seems to go on, and on a very self-preserving day, like today, I'm kind of taking care of my house and taking care of myself, I'm a musician, and I have a lot of personal work to do. And when I have those days where I have enough energy and courage to do those things, I sometimes realize that maybe my longing for that kind of, that focus and longing on that kind of relationship is really my distraction from my own personal self-preservation or my self-fulfillment. Well, and I struggle.
That's a great insight, because that's usually the case. People who focus mostly on the external relationships are usually avoiding or somehow not connecting with themselves.
Mm-hmm, which I think I'm at school right now. I'm doing my master's, and I work with a healer, with a spiritual healer, and she had said that doing homework, which is something that comes very hard to me, unless everything else in my relationship is going well, I have a hard time sitting still. And she said that she believed that homework and all things like this are real signs of intimacy, that's what doing your homework or doing your own personal work is, that's the truest intimacy. And I, for some reason, seek the intimacy of the partner, where I feel like when that's all right, then I feel like I can handle everything else. But it becomes very dependent on the last time I spoke to him, the last time. And this has been something in my life. I happen to be right now with somebody that's very giving also, but I've struggled with this my whole life, and it's very reoccurring for me.
Because the drive, you know, the instinct and the sexual instinct, the one that wants you to connect and make contact and make it physical and make it sexual and make it intimate and do all that stuff, that's the one that dominates. And I don't care whatever they say, it's very hard to hug a book. You know what I mean? I mean, if you do your homework and you do it successfully and you hold that and you're in the middle of doing your homework, it's very likely that if your boyfriend called up and said, hey, I'm right downstairs, let's get together, I don't know how well you could hold on to your homework when you've got the kind of instinct level you do.
It's true.
You know, it's like it's an easy distraction. I met a young man once who said he liked to have a lot of different, he liked a lot of different women. He says, I want to get a lot of women. He says, I want to have as much experience with women as possible. And I said, so how do you do it? He said, my favorite time of year is final exams. And I said, why? He said, because if you go through the colleges at final exam time, everybody there who is studying is ready to go off with the first potential relationship to come along, because they all hate doing it.
Interesting.
It's a real struggle. I thank you very much for calling, Michael.
Thank you so much, Armand. Be well.
Thank you. A first-time caller, Michael, right? Hope he's a member of WBAI. 212-209-2900. If you don't have a membership in BAI, my friends, it's something you can easily do by going to our website, wbai.org, and taking a look around. Membership is cheap, and it says you support this kind of programming. Hi, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
I am definitely the relationship type.
All right, second one. Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Arlene.
Hello, Arlene.
Hi.
Yep, it's about love, huh?
It's about love, and it's about connection. Self-preservation is so out of my life. It's scary to hear you speak about it.
Yeah, how's your bank account?
My bank account's okay for some reason.
Well, it's not so far out of your life, then. How are your friends?
My friends are okay. I don't really seem to have an intimate connection the way I perceive it to be, or I would like it to be with anybody, to be honest with you.
Not even with a mate?
No, not even with a mate.
But you've had it with a mate?
That's my drive. My drive is always to have an intimate connection with mate or spirit, or, you know, always looking for an intimate connection. You know, when you were saying before, that drive to have a real deep connection, that's me. That's what I want.
What's it feel like when you find that connection? Tell me what that's like for you. Because you must have had experiences either through spiritually or physically or romantically. You must have found that. Is it like finding somebody you love and laying in bed with them and holding them all night? What's it like?
Well, I have had epiphanies in my life, and when you have an epiphany, you know that you've touched a portion of what I would call God or spirit, and you know that there's somewhere deeper you can go. It's always deeper for me. Always.
Deeper is for you a place where you feel what? Connected, real?
Where I know what the truth is.
Boy, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a big statement. Knowing what the truth is.
Where I know what real is.
Yeah. You must have grown up in a home where you didn't know what was real.
No, there was no realness there, that's for sure.
What was fake about your home? What was not real about your home? There was no real love, we know that for sure.
The relationships were not real. Everything was pretend. Everything was, you knew it wasn't real, your insides told you, your gut. But on the outside, it was all fake. It was fake.
So they told you the fake was real.
Yeah.
And the love that your mother and your father shared with each other was unnoticeable. You couldn't see it. It wasn't there.
Oh, it blatantly wasn't there. They slept in separate rooms and argued with one another. And
how about your relationship with your father? What was that like?
Well, I was his favorite.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't really have intimate conversation or anything like that.
But as his favorite, what favor did you get that maybe others didn't get? Was it the twinkle in his eye when he saw you?
It was just a feeling of love. A feeling that he loved me.
So on many levels, your dad must have been like he must have been a bad guy. You know, like your mom must have disliked him. Right? People must have disliked him, but you knew that Daddy loved you.
Yeah, definitely.
What happened to your dad?
Well, he was in the war. He's passed on. He had a heart attack. I was there when he had a heart attack.
When was that?
Probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm. Do you think about it around the holiday times?
No, not really. I'm a real trooper around the holiday times. I have to be.
What does that mean, you have to be? You do what?
I survive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I survive. So it seems like there's a point in your life, even though your life was false, where you knew something real, and the real you knew was that your father loved you, and you could feel it. And no matter what anybody said, you knew real. So you went to find reality in the relationship, the one-to-one relationship, like the one you had with your dad.
Yeah, well, I think I moved to find reality through spirituality right now, to the point where sometimes I think I might be obsessed with it.
Well, that's why you can't trust humans, you know what I mean? Because it's hard to get reality with them, but then when we go through spirituality, we create a better daddy, a much better daddy, because this one can't let you down because you make it up.
Yeah, you make it up for sure.
You make it up, you know. So now the new relationship will be with God or Hashem, and you make that up as a perfect parent.
Right, and, you know, it's to the point where people will, I was to the point where when you talk about that preservation, I didn't care about preservation. That didn't matter to me. Gave my kids over to my ex-husband, who was abusive. So when you talk about that, I'm nervous. I'm nervous, Armand. Where do I begin here, you know, when you say, like, you don't care about yourself, so you don't care about your kids. I'm going like, that's me. Oh, my God, that's me.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like it's getting quite different. Sounds like you're looking at it from a different light. It sounds like you want to challenge that. Is that true? Oh, I think we lost the caller. Are you still there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It sounds like a part of you wants to challenge this system.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hear. And you're going in through the religious way, which is one way to do it, through the, you know, the spiritual way. But I think you might also have to look at your inner rage. You know, some of that rage that you're not comfortable with. It sounds like you're really angry about a lot of things and that you just don't like it in yourself, so you're trying to get away from it.
Well, I am working with somebody in domestic violence, and we talk about that, and I say, if I go into the rage, I'm afraid I'll disappear myself.
It's a common thing. You're afraid you'll annihilate, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of people who have that fear of rage have that fear that they will annihilate. They'll break up into a million pieces, which is not true, of course, because that won't happen. Mm-hmm. So it's an illusion, and it's almost a spiritual illusion, because in a way, your fear is the same as your belief that you're going to become part of the spirit world. You're going to annihilate. It's an interesting thought. Hey, listen, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Armand. Thanks.
My pleasure, Arlene, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. So there's an interesting thought for you. When you create a thing you fear that's greater than the actual thing itself, like people who are afraid that they will annihilate or get destroyed or something will happen with them if they break up a relationship, it's in effect a religious experience. In effect, it's a religious projection. You're saying, I am going to no longer exist. Well, isn't it interesting that in Buddhism, what was that joke I heard yesterday? Oh, did you hear about the new Buddhist vacuum cleaner? Oh, yes. It has no attachments. In effect, what you're looking to do is you're looking to find yourself as part of something bigger. Now, you know, every one of us want to be part of something. We all need to belong to something. We all need to get by. We all need to save ourselves to keep ourselves going, and we all need to have some kind of love partner if we could find it. All of those three instincts are very important. And if we got to get by, we've got to get by with whatever we can. But it's important to realize that sometimes your search to get one of your instincts met leads you away from your own self-preservation. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Greetings, Armand.
Greetings. Who is this?
My name is Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello. I would say that I'm the social one. I have tons and tons of friends.
Well, you know, I could tell that by the way you said greetings.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's people who know me. I don't even know who the heck they are. Aren't you Tracy? Hi. Hi.
You're a very popular person.
Yeah.
So in one-to-one intimacy, any of that?
Oh, blast it, no.
Yeah, when's the last one?
Oh, that's a horror story. I left that one in October.
So that was just a few months ago.
Yes.
What was the horror story about it?
Oh, it was just awful.
So you try to get mates.
Sometimes if I feel like it,
I have my
moods.
But you have your real mood is to be as social with other people. And it sounds like you also have a high self-preservation.
Well, I'm really horrible with money.
So you don't, that goes by the wayside too. And what was the worst part? Tell me the worst aspect of your last relationship that was a horror story that ended in October.
That we both shared an apartment, but that he never slept home. He always slept at his now girlfriend's house. And he just used me to take care of his dog.
Ooh, boy, that's quite an interpretation. You mean he never slept in your apartment? He shared an apartment with
you? Yes.
But did he pay for the apartment?
Yes.
So he put you up in an apartment.
He didn't put me up. I mean, we were both on the lease, but he just stopped staying there after a while and was with her all the time.
So he left you and he left his dog with you?
Yes.
So what happened eventually? Did he leave?
I just packed my things and the roommate we had at the time helped me move and I left. And then he called and the roommate said, you need to do something with your dog because it peed on the floor in the bathroom. Well, where's Tracy? Oh, dude, you didn't know? She's gone. Huh?
Yeah. So it sounds like you've been through some really rough times, Tracy.
Yes, 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 but c'est la vie.
And I hear you've got that attitude that says c'est la vie, and that'll get you by.
Well, what else can I do?
And a lot of social friends will also get you by. Of course. Of course. Well, one of the things you can do is keep listening to us, because I'll be with you.
I always listen to you, Armando Mel.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Mine too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's very interesting, don't you think? We heard a perfect type. We heard perfect. We heard about how the different ranges of these kind of your center of gravity with either social, sexual, or self-preservation, where it takes you. Very important, because if you could figure it out and you could figure out your mates, you could figure out where you have conflict. You know, people who are self-preservation types are always telling other people that they're wrong for not doing the same thing. So if you're a self-preservation type and you're married to a social type, you're going to say, hey, we got to save money, we got to get the right food, and your mate's going to say, no, we got to go be with our sister Tess. So, hey, listen, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille. Stay tuned. Tomorrow at 1, The Positive Mind. You could get a copy of today's program if you want by going to the website and downloading it from there, thepositivemind.com, or you could call our offices at 212-757-4488. Do visit the WBAI website as well. Learn a lot what's happening in this world. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends. Stanley Turrentine.